say good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here on this cloudy morning. It's not, at least we haven't got a stunning heat wave this morning yet. So welcome to any visitors who've joined us today. And we're very pleased to welcome Katie, who will be bringing us God's word this morning. Welcome. I think we've just got a visitor, actually. Hello. Okay. I'm delighted to be back at Bethlehem after several weeks away. It's been lovely to spend time with our family in England and to have a holiday in France, but it is nice to come home. But unfortunately, Heather isn't well, still not well this week, and won't be joining us, but we will hold her in our thoughts and prayers. And I have some sad news, which Ali just told me about. When Sue Larish was here at Easter, she mentioned her grandson, Ben, had been diagnosed with a brain tumour. Unfortunately, he passed away last Monday night. And his parents are Neil and Vicky and her sister Gemma. And please remember the whole family in your prayers. Sad news. So back to everyday things. Tea and coffee will be served in the hall after the service. And we hope that many of you will be able to join us. And prayers available after the service too. Please remain in your seat, or you can come to the front and someone will come alongside you to pray. And please would everyone else go out to the hall quietly so to continue fellowship there. So big thank you to Sheila and Katie who came to the music practice, and we're very glad to have our singers back from holiday. Thanks also to Brenda on computer, Glenys our steward, and our Bible readers and welcomers. So next week it will be Sea Sunday at Grevdalek, and Reverend Peter will be preaching there, so there won't be a service here. But because of that, there are, in the notices this week, there are two weeks of birthdays, and so quite a few people. So the first is Reverend Danny on the 12th, Glenys on the 13th, Carol, the one you, and her brother on the 16th, me on the 17th, and Vicky Delahaye on the 19th of July. So we can sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, may God's love go with you. Happy birthday to you.
A flurry of birthdays, wonderful. So we're going to begin the service with our call to worship. I have to read the right one. We come as we are. Lord, we come as we are to become what you meant us to be. We come as we are, broken, afraid, full of disappointment, to be made whole and to be set free. We come as we are with all our plans and our dreams, our joys and our sorrows, to be touched by your grace and held in your love. We come as we are. There is no other way we can come. We come as we are to praise you, the one who is worthy and the one who is Lord. Amen. And we're going to start with two songs, and then we'll have prayers and then another song. The first is Come Let Us Sing of a Wonderful Love. And for loving us, for putting us into the world with so many other people. We know that life need never be dull, and no one need ever be lonely, so long as we love one another. We thank you, Lord, for making each of us so very different, so that we might learn that your love is not just for ourselves, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. He shared all that it means for us to live in our world, so that we might begin to know what it can mean to walk in your love. We praise you that he was ready to share our pain, our loneliness, our weaknesses, our failures, and our defeats. We thank you that through his death and resurrection, he has promised us that we can enter into his victory of love. For all your gifts, for your promises, and your presence with us, we thank you, Lord. Amen. And a prayer of confession. Make sure I read the right one. Hang on. I've got it written down here. I must read the right one. our need to listen. Our need to listen. Here it is. Lord, forgive us if your word of grace is not heard where it is most needed. Forgive us for those around whose lives, forgive us for those around whose lives are empty and who feel they have a futile existence, and we have not spoken your name. Forgive us if our faith has grown old or cold or empty. Forgive us if we have become disillusioned, cynical, or careless in our walk of faith in Christ. Lord, renew our hope, rekindle our faith, surprise us again with your loving voice and your call to discipleship and the commission to serve. Speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak to our hearts and minds so that we may speak your word of warning and of mercy, of love and of grace to all to whom we are sent. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen. And there will be another prayer. But
holy, at your feet we fall.
Can I ask Katie to come forward? Sorry if you made you jump there. I repeat all the thank yous. I echo them. There are so many thank yous to give, isn't there? Invitations. Just before we have our reading, I just want to think about invitations. There was a time that we would have, well, not necessarily these, which happens to be a golden wedding one, because we might have had fifth birthday ones and things like that, but I'm more in this range at the moment. And they would be on card or paper, and you'd have them through the post, wouldn't you? And the invitation would come, and you'd be quite excited, or in Bill's case, it might be or what now, but, you know, for most of us, we'd be very excited, and we'd need to look and see where it is, what's happening. Dress code is often there. This particular one we haven't been to yet, it's in August. And not only did we have one through the post, but it said on it, for your RSVP, please see the letter. And there was a long letter of where we had to be, what we had to do, if we wanted to do it, what we had to choose and everything else. These invitations are almost a thing of the past, not the invitation itself, but the way of doing it, isn't it? Somebody in our house had an 80th birthday last year. And some people I knew particularly liked written invitations, and they went out in that form. But for the most part, they did actually go through on a group WhatsApp, because this is a new way of sending out invitations, isn't it?
least of all, because of the postal service, who make things very difficult. There are other sort of invitations, I know, that you give, and something that we give at Messy Church still, a Messy Vintage, not Messy Bears at the moment, because I think we'd be too many numbers, are still in paper form. And they can come like that, or like that. And they're inviting people to come along. And on it we have the dates and the place and how to get there. No dress code. We don't ask them to choose their meals, and we don't even ask them to reply. But they have a paper invitation. Well, we're going to be thinking about invitations in a moment, and before that we're going to ask Mary to come and read to us from the Gospel of Matthew, which is one of the lectionary readings this morning. We will only be using it, but we have split it in two. Thank you, Mary.
So the first reading is from Matthew 11, 16 to 19. So what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, "We played the pipe for you, you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, you didn't mourn. For John neither came eating nor drinking, and they say he was a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he is a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." Thanks be to God.
There's so much in those few lines. Thank you, Mary. Let's just pray before we meet with Jesus, where he's at this morning. Father, you have led us to this passage this morning, or at least you have led me to this passage this morning, along with Doreen. And we thank you, Father, that through it you have a word for us. But we pray that we'll be open to receive that word, and I pray that I've heard you correctly. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we pray now that as we look into your word, it will be pleasing to your ear and eye. For we ask it in the name of your Son. Amen. Right, well, where do we meet Jesus this morning in this passage? Let's push this back a little bit, but no, it's there. Well, after a very intense, shall we say, training time and mentoring, and after a very detailed instruction, Jesus is sending out his 12 disciples. This is the place where he's at. The whole of the chapter before, chapter 10 of Matthew's Gospel, is taken up of telling his disciples, look, this is where I want you to go. This is how I want you to do it. This is how I don't want you to do it. This is how to go about it. It's all there in chapter 10. And what's more, he has bestowed his authority on them. He has given them the power. His power. This is the first taste, really, of the Holy Spirit for him. It hasn't been bestowed on them fully, but he has given them his power to drive out demons, to bless people, to heal people. But they're doing it without him. So his 12 best mates, not his only disciples, his disciples are following him, but his best mates are off on a mission field. Now, meanwhile, there's something else happening in his life here that truly affects his ministry, because John the Baptist, his relative, as we know, but the one who's been coming to prepare the way for Jesus, for God to shine the light on Jesus in the world, he's in prison. And here we meet Jesus at an unspecified town in Galilee. He's there alone. Oh, he's not alone, because in front of him There are all the scribes, the Pharisees, the ones who are there to pick a fault. Of course, they're not alone, because the Galilean town people will be curious. They'll want to be there. Wouldn't you want to be there? Oh, don't get me wrong, they wouldn't be in the front rows. That would be the Pharisees. That would be the scribes. But they will be there. So we have this wonderful picture of Jesus in this unspecified town in Galilee. You'd have thought, wouldn't you, that with all the training and the mentoring and the everything else that's just been going on, he would have sat back. You would have liked to have said to him, why? Why go this morning? Why go this afternoon, this evening, or whenever part of day it was? Why don't you just sit back? Have a little breather. The guys are out doing your work. But no. Jesus goes, stands alone, the promised one, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is there on his own in front of everyone, knowing he's going to be challenged. Of course he's going to be challenged. And we meet him in an unusually frustrated mood, don't we? To what can I compare this generation? You can feel him shaking his head and holding his hands up. Who hasn't said that? Come on. Who has not said, oh, for goodness sake. I know, I met with someone on Friday unexpectedly, and we were talking about grandchildren like you do and everything else, and more or less said those words. Not quite, but that sort of thing, you know. Oh, you just can't understand them, can you? But, you know. Of course we're not meant to understand them. This happens in every generation, doesn't it? But Jesus is really frustrated here. You know, what can I compare them to? I say, I just don't understand. Can't they just see it? Can't they just see that I have been sent by our Father with a new way of doing things, a different way, that they just can't see it. So to what can I compare you? He says, I'm sure directing it at a few front rows. Not these front rows. At the front rows that he saw. So he then proceeds with his usual way, and that is by telling them a parable. But it is perhaps a little bit more than a parable. It's possibly something that generationally they would have known. A little bit, you know, I'm not saying like a nursery rhyme, it's much deeper than that, but it's something that they might have known. It's almost like a little ditty, but it's got lost in time, so nobody can fully understand what it's all about. But what we do know from it is this. There's two invitations in it, and both are rejected. We played the flute for you, he said. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. Now, I forgive me, Paul, I'm sure you can correct this if I'm wrong, but when the music used to strike up, the flute or any other music, would strike up at a wedding, at a celebration, all those years ago, and still now, who gets up to dance? The men. They are up there. I don't see it anywhere else, excepting when I have gone to Jewish celebrations, particularly bar mitzvahs. I remember the first one we went up to, we were just blown away when the first chord comes and everyone in this generation, but then the men, were up there dancing. We gave you this invitation, Jesus is saying. This invitation has happened. Where were you? Did you dance? Or were you just sitting on the sidelines? Were you just doing the bit before? Sitting and calling out to others. And what about when we sang a dirge? Did you mourn? Now, this is aimed not so much at the men, but at the women, for it would have been their role, and is in many cultures in the world still, to beat their chests and mourn, to lead the mourning, in other words, to wail, to lead the mourning. So there's two invitations there, both rejected. Both rejected by the people to whom it would have been known. Not by the people who have come just to hear. Those who have ears, let them hear. Just anybody, if you can pick up on other people's mistakes, pick up on these, he's saying. Because they've received an invitation and they've thrown it out. He says, you're being like children. You're being like children in a marketplace. You're just, well, we would probably call it bullying now. But you're just laughing at them. You just have no intentions whatsoever of joining in. You're listening to God's word. You're listening to me, not to me personally, to Jesus. And you're throwing it out. You're rejecting it. You don't want to really know about this new way of belonging to God's kingdom. You're just sitting, laughing at others. Well, I can imagine it wouldn't have been received that well by the scribes and the Pharisees sitting there in their long robes with their tassels on their garments and their phylacteries, their little boxes of knowledge in their heads, their texts, but really very much for some a show. This we know it all. We know it all, but Jesus is saying, I'm not talking about you knowing it all. I'm talking about you feeling it all. I'm talking about it being from the heart. This is the new way of the kingdom. Okay. John has been before. And what did they do? Well, admittedly, his ministry was quite austere, and they thought he was possessed. Did they listen? Did other people listen? And then, of course, Jesus comes along. Jesus comes along, and what's he doing? He's not just baptizing in with water like John is doing. That was bad enough. What's he doing? He's mixing with all sorts of people. Tax collectors, for goodness sake, what's he on? You know, here comes Jesus saying that this is God's will, that he is the Son of God. And he is sharing God's lavish love, his generous love, his forgiveness. What is he, some sort of rebel? Oh, there's two very, very different thoughts going on in his audience, the one he faces. But he covers that. He knows that's going to happen. Because he says, you know, I've been accused here of being a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors, a sinner. But wisdom is proved right by her action. You know, the greatest word I think he said before in this passage was the sitting. The word sitting. And you are sitting. You're doing nothing. You're accusing John, you're accusing my disciples, you're accusing me, but you're sitting. But wisdom is proved right by her action. I found that quite eye-opening and challenging for two reasons. One is, and this is one, only one thought of on this word wisdom, but it is certainly the way I read it, but others read it differently. But wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is God. I can't read it any other way. So for me, this says, and perhaps for you, God is proved right by her action. I have never seen that in that passage, her action. Isn't that wonderful? God, who we always refer to as him, his. God's wisdom is proved right by her action. God sent John for a specific role to shine the light on Jesus, his son. God sent Jesus for a specific role to hand out, to personally hand out God's invitation to be part of his kingdom. You know, it'd be fair to say that it may be scary, but it can almost be said in this generation too. For somehow we've managed to empty our churches. Now, I was saying we, because it certainly wasn't God, was it? Somehow. But like the tide is turning around in this passage, I truly believe the tide is turning round now and has turned for some churches, and certainly we are talking here in the Christian denomination, of course. You know, there would have been a time I'd have stood here and I've said, and are we just sitting, laughing at others, thinking, like, not going, well, it was going back a number of years, but there was a time where people would say, oh, yeah, but they're just a, I don't know, a clappy church or this sort of church or that sort of church. Or messy church. Oh, my goodness me, when messy church started, well, we won't go there. that was quite challenging. But I do believe the tide is turning, and turning in little ways as well as big ways. And I say that not least of all because at the St. Peter's Fete, just over a week ago now, isn't it, when Messy Church had a presence there, in the past, one or two of us have always gone round because it's been quite quiet. They'll come past the store, but, you know, oh, no, that's this church up there. We'll just... And I'm looking at Doreen because I know it's often been her and I, have gone out with these little invitations, these, not the golden wedding ones, with these, and said, you know, and perhaps something that we've been making, and we go around and we say, you know, come and make something. I think one of our selling points often was it's free. You don't, you know, just come and see. Sometimes it would work, sometimes not. Sometimes they say, oh, we're just doing this and we'll be around later. This year, how different was it, team? How different? People were coming straight. In fact, I went off to do that very thing at the very beginning and actually got caught up talking to somebody about Messi, but talking to somebody. When I came back, the store was full. People were coming straight there. They wanted to know more. They wanted to engage in conversation. They wanted you to help their little one to do the craft whilst they were there as well, perhaps having a break. I'm looking at somebody at the back over there who I know spent over half an hour, possibly even 40 minutes with someone. I thought the mother, the grandmother apparently, having conversation. This is saying church is not a scary place. This is saying church doesn't only happen inside walls. This is saying we stand on holy ground no matter where we are. This is a sort of radical way that Jesus was preaching. He was saying, okay, this is something different. We know this is perhaps news to you, but you don't have to stay in that place where you're at without knowing him, is what we're really about. Because I do think that people, society in general, have been in a desert place for some time. It's perhaps been a hurting place for them, or perhaps a violent place or a scared place. It might be an unfulfilled place or a lonely place or a place of being a single parent, a place of confusion, a place of busy place. I've left a family with a diary in front of them, scratching their head, wondering how they're going to do this or that or something else. But whatever place it is, Jesus says there's no need to be there on your own. You know, I can quench your thirst. I can be with you on whatever journey you're taking to help you to find peace and joy. You know, there's a wonderful song by Brenton Brown, and we're just going to reflect on that a moment, and we're going to use this, I hope, in our hearts as prayers for all those people who are thirsty. All those people who are really yearning for something. They do not know what. And that's the next part of this lesson today. But they are thirsty. So will you join me whilst Brenda puts on this wonderful, wonderful Brenton Brown song, All Who Are Thirsty, after which, Anneli, I would ask you to come up and do the second part of the reading.
And learn, and reveal them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you all for your prayers for all who are thirsty for the beautiful flags and for your reading, Emily. It was a short reading, just 5 verses, but boy, do they pack a punch, hey? Do they pack a punch? Where does Jesus start? He starts where we should all start. He starts by praising his Father. He starts in prayer. He says, I praise you, Father, for my relationship with you. I praise you for the way in which you are revealing yourself. I praise you. You know, he may not have been what Jesus had in his heart, but he wants to know what his Father's got in his heart. I praise you not to learn, but to show people how to have that eagerness, that energy, that joy, that trust, like children. Children might query things. Querying is good. But children have an energy, an excitement. That's the sort of thing I want, Father. I just pray to you that people would start hearing from their heart first and then their head. Big, big order, because people, and people still, in this generation, we still have people like myself who learn Bible first, heart next. Now he's saying, whoa, 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 heart. Heart first. Then you can start to learn. When you know God's love. And he says, I thank you that I am your son. I thank you, Father, that you sent me with this personal invitation. What is the invitation? Come. Oh, it's so, even if we just had that one word, come. Sorry, I'm looking at it in this, I'm looking at a different Bible at home and I can't find my place. Come. Come. And who is this addressed to? Oh, now, would you believe it? It's not just the front rows. All, every single one of us, every single person who was in that crowd that day, not just the scribes, not just the Pharisees, like they think they are the only ones invited. No, he says, all, every single one of us, all you who are weary and burdened. Oh boy, do you know that feeling? Being weary. We can all relate to that, I'm sure. It doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter who we are. Weary and burdened. We are talking very much this generation, aren't we? We are talking about a generation here, not just of ourselves, but a generation out there who have so much on their plate. They are weary and burdened. They are burdened by work, they are burdened by finances, they are burdened by so much. But anyway, why should we accept this invitation? Well, he even tells us that. Why accept it? Because I will give you rest. Doesn't mean the problem might have gone away, but I will give you rest from it. How? How can that be, Lord? It's all very well saying you'll give me rest, but how? Oh, he's got the answer to that too. Oh, it's clever little verses. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, this is the offer, he says. Just like the oxen pair of them, yoked together. Usually with one wiser than the other, a slight leader, but working in harmony. Working in harmony with each other to prepare the ground to sow the seed. And that's what he's saying to us. He's saying, whatever I'm calling you to do, we'll do it together. Because we're yoked together. If you believe in me, he's saying, we are yoked together. I don't expect you to do any task on your own. I don't mind how small it is. I don't even mind if it's out at St. Peter's Fete. I really don't mind how small it is. We are yoked together. And nothing is impossible. I will lead you, I will guide you, I will show you the way. You know, when it's put like that, nothing seems quite so daunting, does it? It seems like it is just possible. But what was the key for Jesus? What is the key for us? First of all, it's about communication. Not just with each other, though, boy, is that important. But with Jesus himself. He wants us to pray. He wants us to pray just like he prayed to his Father, prayed to him, through him, to his Father. You know, even if it's a task that's on the spur of the moment that happens and we have this something very quickly, we see somebody in a shop or something and they pour out their problems, we weren't expecting it. And in a split second, you can send up a narrow prayer. Jesus is there. He's there. Or it can be something more long term. It could be something like what's happening soon. It could be like when the circuit are planning this Ignite celebration in October, the weekend where you're invited to come along and stay the whole weekend, or you're invited to come along on a day pass, so to speak, and certainly for the circuit service. And it's an invitation for everyone, for all. Because I think we've come to a realization we can't remain sitting. We can't remain sitting. We have to do something. And this is the greatest invitation that Jesus has ever given us. Come, all who are weary. It is an amazing invitation. Because, you see, he must have felt weary. He came in human form. There must have been times. He never hesitated, but there must have been times he was tired. He certainly was suffering. We know of his suffering. We know of the abuse he took. And just like now, where people are perhaps thinking, yeah, I would do that, but gosh, I'm getting a bit long in the tooth for this. Don't think that I don't say that, because I do. Boy, more than long in the tooth, I think. I speak to him and I say, what are you doing? Have you looked in the mirror? Yeah. I have. All who are weary. He says this to young families, raising a family. He says this to everybody out there, all who are weary. But there's something in this invitation that perhaps, it isn't said here, but perhaps you'll notice. You see, on this invitation that he sends, oh, that's the wrong one. This isn't going to work. It's on here. We've got this. Yes. The very first thing on this invitation says, would you like to invite? Well, I think there's a lot of people out there that are not sure yet. Okay, so where is it at then? What time is it? Well, you see, there's no start and finish to this invitation that Jesus sends. We can go to Jesus anytime. And did you hear him mention a venue? No venue. We can go to Jesus anywhere. And was there a letter attached with this, with a code of conduct and what to wear and what I was going to eat? And no, absolutely not, Jesus says. Come. Come to me just as you are. And that's the invitation, the greatest invitation that we will ever receive ourselves. And we're not meant to sit on it. We're meant to hand it out to others. Let's sing. So we come to our prayers of intercession. And I will just open them, and then we'll have a short time of sharing, should we wish. Let's pray. And I ask you, if you wish, to respond when I say, Lord, let your love surround them all, or us all, with come, Lord Jesus, come. Just as we have sung, come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, by the power of your Lord, by the power of your love, we come, trusting in your grace and mercy that we hold up to you our concerns for your hurting world, for your damaged church, and for all those who need a touch from you right now. Lord, our heart breaks as we hear the news and see the effect of the terrible earthquake in Venezuela. We pray that people would feel your loving presence around them in the midst of their grief and suffering. We pray for all who mourn and have lost everything. For the rescuers and the rescue dogs working endless hours in the hope of a sound that has miraculously led to life even 8 days after. We pray that the surgeons, doctors, and nurses would be given the strength and resources to carry on with their work, and that the world will be willing to help in whichever way is most needed to bring restoration and comfort at this horrific time. Lord, let your love surround them all. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we pray for your church, that we may wake up to your holy prompting and meet your children in ways and places that are relative to this generation. We pray especially for the Ignite Circuit celebration weekend, that not only are we fed by you, but that we are enthused and excited but how you wish that you want to grow your church, Father, and we respond to how you wish to help to grow it in the name of your kingdom. Lord, let your love surround us all. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we pray for all of our church leaders, for Peter and Keith, for Karen, and all who keep the circuit cogs turning. But this morning, we especially pray for Reverend Dawn as she prepares to leave Jersey and journey onto her new placement. May all go smoothly for her, and may you bless her and her new congregations abundantly. Lord, let your love surround them all. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We pray especially this morning for Heather. Our Father, we do pray that you would restore her to full health, that she would be less anxious, and that her body would respond accordingly to treatment or none. And we pray for Derek too. Father, we think of Enid having a little bit of respite care. We pray that you would restore her too, that she can worship back again with her family, her church family, with us. And this morning, with the very sad news that we heard, we think of Sue Larish at the loss of Ben, her grandson. We think of all the family and all the friends for whom this loss will be keenly known. Father, comfort them, we pray. Build them up. And may their memories bring them peace. Lord, let your love surround them all. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And now, in a time of sharing, we bring to you, Father, all those people and situations on our hearts, be it in the way of spoken prayer or in our hearts. Let your love surround them all. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And Father, not least of all, you tell us to pray for ourselves. And Father, I do pray for each and every person here this morning and those who cannot be with us, that whatever their situation, whatever their experience of life this last week or that coming, may all be blessed by you, Father. May each and every heart turn to you. And may they receive your unconditional love, your strength, your peace, your rest, and your holy prompting. And so we close this time of prayer with the prayer you taught us to say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass each other. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we close this morning by singing of Jesus' story and our own. I danced in the morning.